Let us pray. Almighty God, look with loving mercy on your family, from whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed, to be given over to the hands of sinners, and to suffer death on the cross, who now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please prepare your hearts and your minds for worship this evening as we begin with a reading from Isaiah and continue with a reading from Hebrews.
See, my servant shall prosper. He shall be exalted and lifted up and shall be very high. Just as there were many who were astonished at him, so marred was his appearance beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of mortals, so he shall startle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which had not been told them they shall see, and that which they had not heard they shall contemplate. Who has believed what we have heard, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. And by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and made the intercession for the transgressors. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Hebrews, the 10th chapter. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. He also adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he has opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We will read together the gospel acclamation this evening. I ask that you remain seated. We will be reading the Passion according to John, and it's a long reading. Oh, maybe you don't have it. I will read the gospel acclamation. Look to Jesus, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. We now read the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. At certain points during the reading of this Passion narrative, we will pause and we will sing a verse from ELW 349, if you would like to sing that from the hymnal. The hymn name is Ah, Holy Jesus. The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. After Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Jesus brought a detachment of soldiers together with police from the chief priests and the Pharisees. And they came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was about to happen to him, came forward and asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus replied, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. Then when Jesus said to them, "I am he," they stepped back and fell to the ground. Again he said to them, "Whom are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you are looking for me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "I did not lose a single one of those whom you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back in its sheath. Am I not to drink the cup that the Father has given me?" So the soldiers, their officer, and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him. First, they took him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was better to have one person die for the people. Thank you. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter was standing outside the gate. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out, spoke to the woman who guarded the gate, and brought Peter in. The woman said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the slaves and the police made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing around it and warming themselves. Peter was also standing with them and warming himself. Then the priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Jesus answered, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogues and in the temple, where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said this, one of the police standing nearby struck Jesus in the face, saying, "Is this how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They asked him, "You are not also one of the disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, cock crowed. Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." The Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death he was to die. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him. But you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" And they shouted in reply, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a bandit. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him and saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and striking him on the face. Pilate went out again and said to them, "Look, I am bringing him out to you. I am bringing him out to you." "Look, I am bringing him out to you. I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no case against him." "Well said, Pilate." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." When the chief priests and the police saw him, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no case against him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has claimed to be the Son of God." Now, when Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid than ever. He entered his headquarters again and asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate therefore said to him, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have power to release you and power to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no power over me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are no friend of the emperor. Everyone who claims to be a king sets himself against the emperor." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench at a place called the Stone Pavement, or in Hebrew called Gabbatha. Now it was the day of the preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon. He said to the Jews, "Here is your king." They cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but the emperor." Then he handed him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with two others, one on either side of him, with Jesus in between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but 'this man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" And Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it." This was to fulfill what the scripture says, "They divided my clothes among themselves. For my clothing, they cast lots." And that is what the soldiers did.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, the Jews did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, especially because the Sabbath was a day of great solemnity. So they asked Pilate to have the legs of the crucified men broken and the bodies removed. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out. He who saw this has testified so that you may also believe. His testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth. These things occurred so that the scripture might be fulfilled. None of his bones shall be broken. And again, another passage of scripture says, they will look on the one whom they have pierced. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though a secret one because of his fear of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission, so he came and removed the body. Nicodemus, who had at first come to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with the spices and linen cloths, according to the burial custom of the Jews. Now there was a garden in the place where he was crucified, and it was in the garden there, and in the garden there was a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And so because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. This is the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are a lot of scapegoats, a whole lot of bad guys, if you will, in the passion, according to John. A lot of people who came together to crucify my Lord, Jesus Christ. As has been noted by many scholars, the Gospel of John paints a pretty hostile picture of those who came together to crucify Jesus. And many, many times in what I just read to you, it is said, the Jews, right? First is Judas, a Jew, and he brings a detachment of soldiers and police dispatched by who? Who sent them there? The Jews. Chief priests and Pharisees, quote, the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him and took him where? More Jews. Annas and Caiaphas, both very important Jews, mind you, Caiaphas being the high priest of the Jews for that year. And then the Jews handed Jesus over to Pilate, saying, we are not to put anyone to death. And they're basically telling Pilate, but we know you can, so you better do your job. After talking to Jesus, Pilate tells the Jews he's innocent, right? And the Jews insist that Pilate killed Jesus anyway. Pilate again attempts to have Jesus released, and the Jewish chief priests and the Jewish police, they shout, crucify him, crucify him. He claims that he's God's son. And now Pilate is very afraid to condemn Jesus to death, and he tries again to have Jesus released. But the Jews, these evil Jews, are relentless. If you release this man, you're no friend of the emperor. They say exactly the thing that Pilate needs to hear to get him to do his job. So Pilate relents, brings Jesus before the Jews and says, here is your king. And they shout, away with him, crucify him. If it weren't for those Jews, am I right? If only those Jews had accepted Jesus Christ as their king, nay, as their Lord and Savior like we do, right? I really hope that no one half listens to this sermon someday, because that would be very bad for me. Because here is where I say that a proper reading of John's Passion narrative does not indict the chief priests and the Pharisees and the Jews for the death of their King, Jesus Christ. And that is because we are all complicit. Jesus' blood is on all of our hands. Because if Jesus died for our sins, it is our sins, all of our sins that betray Jesus in the garden. It is all of our sins that arrest and bind Jesus in that garden. It is all of our sins that hand Jesus over to Pilate. It is all of our sins that over and over and over again can shout nothing more than crucify him. Even as Pilate tried to have Jesus released. Our sins forced Jesus to bear that cross by himself alone up that hill, the place of the skull, Golgotha. Our sins nailed him to that tree. Our sins pierced his side. We, as in all of us, our sins, our rejection of God, this is what we have done to crucify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And here in a moment, we're going to sing a hymn that asks a question. Were you there? Were you there? Were we there? Were we there? Of course we were there. Because we, as in our sins, crucified Jesus Christ. His blood isn't just on Jews who rejected him 2,000 years ago. We are covered in Jesus' blood. We were most certainly there.
Thank you.
We continue worship with our bidding prayers. These are basically prayers of intercession on steroids. And we will ask through Christ our Lord. So each petition will end with, we ask this through Christ our Lord, and to which you will all respond, this one's hard, amen. And then we will sing, Stay With Me. And in between each of the petitions, we will sing, Stay With Me. So we are going to sing this very short hymn, Stay With Me. And then we will continue into our bidding prayers.
Let us pray, dear siblings of Christ, for the Holy Church throughout the world.
Almighty and eternal God, you have shown your glory to all nations in Jesus Christ. By your Holy Spirit, guide the church and gather it throughout the world. Help it to preserve in faith, proclaim your name, bring the good news of salvation in Christ to all people, while acknowledging the pain it has caused, confessing its institutional sin and reconciling with the people it has marginalized, so that all may be united in the love of God. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Let us pray for our priesthoods of all believers, Elizabeth and Daniel, our bishops, for Sean, our pastor, all servants of the church, and for all people of God.
Almighty and eternal God, your Spirit guides the church and makes it holy. Strengthen and uphold our bishops, pastors, and other ministers and lay leaders. Keep them in health and safety for the good of the church. And help each of us in our various vocations to faithfully do the work to which you have called us. Send us to encounter you in our neighbor, serving, confessing, forgiving, and praying just as you showed us. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray for those preparing for baptism.
Almighty and eternal God, you continue to bless the church. Increase the faith and understanding of those preparing for baptism. Give them new birth as your children and keep them in the faith and communion of your holy church. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray for our sisters and brothers who share our faith in Jesus Christ.
Almighty and eternal God, you give your church unity. Look with favor on all who follow Jesus, your Son. Make all the baptized one in the fullness of faith, and keep us united in the fellowship of love. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray for the Jewish people, the first to hear the word of God.
Almighty and eternal God, long ago you gave your promise to Abraham, and you blessed him and his family that they would be a blessing to the world. You gave your good law and teaching to Moses. Hear our prayers that the people you called and elected as your own may receive the fulfillment of God's covenant promises. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Pray for those who do not share our faith in Jesus Christ.
Almighty and eternal God, gather into your embrace all who call out to you under different names. Bring an end to interreligious strife and make us more faithful witnesses of the love made known to us in your Son. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray for those who do not believe in God.
Almighty and eternal God, you created humanity so that all may long to know you and find peace in you. Grant that all may recognize the signs of your love and grace in the world and in the lives of Christians, and gladly acknowledge you as the one true God. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Pray for God's creation.
Almighty and eternal God, you are the creator of a magnificent universe. Hold all the worlds in the arms of your care and bring all things to fulfillment in you. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray for those who serve in public office.
Almighty and eternal God, you are the champion of the poor and the oppressed, and your goodness give wisdom to those in authority so that all may enjoy justice, peace, freedom, and a share in the goodness of your creation. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Let us pray for those in need.
Almighty God, you give strength to the weary and new courage to those who have lost heart. Heal the sick, comfort the dying, and give safety to travelers. Free those who are unjustly deprived of liberty, and deliver your world from falsehood, hunger, and disease. Hear the prayers of all who call on you in any trouble. Hear the call of all who cannot call on you, that they may have the joy of receiving your help in their need. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Behold, the life-giving cross on which was hung the Savior of the whole world.
Behold, the life-giving cross on which was hung the Savior of the whole world. O come, let us worship him.
Behold, the life-giving cross on which was hung the Savior of the whole world.
O come, let us worship him. You may be seated for the solemn reproaches. Each reproach ends with the words, "You have prepared a cross for your Savior," and you will respond by singing, "Holy God," which is in ELW 161 and will also be projected on the screen. Oh, my people, oh, my church, what have I done to you? How have I offended you? Answer me. I led you out of slavery into freedom and delivered you through the waters of rebirth, but you have prepared a cross for your Savior.
O my church, what more could I have done for you? Answer me. 40 years I led you through the desert, feeding you with manna on the way. I saved you from the time of trial and gave you my body, the bread of heaven. But you have prepared a cross for your Savior.
Oh, my church, what more could I have done for you? Answer me. I led you on your way in a pillar of cloud and fire, but you led me to the judgment hall of Pilate. I guided you by the light of the Holy Spirit, but you have prepared a cross for your Savior.
O my people, O my church, what more could I have done for you? Answer me. I planted you in my finest vineyard, but you brought forth bitter fruit. I made you branches of the wine and never left your side, but you prepared a cross for your Savior.
My church, what more could I have done for you? Answer me. I poured out saving water from the rock, but you gave me vinegar to drink. I poured out my life and gave you the new covenant in my blood, but you have prepared a cross for your Savior.
O my people, O my church, what more could I have done for you? Answer me. I gave you a royal scepter, but you gave me a crown of thorns. I gave you the freedom and kingdom and crowned you with eternal life, but you prepared a cross for your Savior.
What more could I have done for you? Answer me. I struck down your enemies, but you struck my head with a reed. I gave you my peace, but you draw the sword in my name, and you have prepared a cross for your Savior.
O my people, O my God, what more could I have done for you? Answer me. I opened the waters to lead you to the promised land, but you opened my side with a spear. I washed your feet as a sign of love, but you prepared a cross for your Savior.
My church, what more could I have done for you? Answer me. I lifted you up to the heights, but you lifted me high on a cross. I was raised from death and prepared for you the tree of life, but you have prepared a cross for your Savior.
O my people, O my church, what more could I have done for you? Answer me. I grafted you into the people Israel, but you made them scapegoats for your own guilt, and you prepared a cross for your Savior.
Could I have done for you? Answer me. I came to you in the least of your brothers and sisters, but I was hungry and you gave me no food, thirsty and you gave me no drink, a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. And you have prepared a cross for your Savior. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you.
By your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.
Jeff, would you mind dimming some of the lights in here, please? Another one of my audibles. I didn't tell him about this ahead of time. Yesterday evening on Maundy Thursday, we prepared for Good Friday today by stripping the sanctuary of all its adornments. We removed all the sacramental elements and the vessels, all the paraments and the linens and the banners. We removed the altar candles. We removed the paschal candle. On this night, more than on any other, we remember that we have been willing participants in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, co-conspirators with those who handed Jesus over to Pontius Pilate. We joined the shouts of "Crucify him!" We chose Barabbas over the king, our king of the Jews, and we sentenced him to death. We carried the cross into the sanctuary on this night to remember that it is we, not just the religious authorities or Pharisees or scribes or Sadducees or Jews or an angry mob from 2,000 years ago, but we who have killed God in Jesus Christ. And yet in this sanctuary, there remains one adornment that we did not remove last night. One candle. that we did not remove on Maundy Thursday as we prepared to remember Jesus' crucifixion. It is up there. We call it a sanctuary lamp or an eternal flame, an eternal candle. And that flame, that candle reminds us of God's eternal presence with us, God's people. Make no mistake, we killed God in Jesus Christ. And God remains ever present with us. It is in this mystery that we find hope on this night. It is because of this mystery that we call this day good. Because even though we have killed God and Jesus Christ, and even though God and Jesus Christ lies dead in the tomb, the blessed and holy Trinity remains alive and ever present. That is the power of this cross. In a moment, I will light a votive candle from this eternal flame, and we will begin singing ELW 5356, Sing My Tongue. After this candle is lit, I will bring it up to this table that has been stripped of all its adornments. And after that candle is there, you're invited to come forward to reverence this cross. You are welcome to light a candle up here if you would like. You can pause before this cross, bow, you can kneel in front of it, you can stand in prayer, you can touch this cross. And when this hymn is over, you're invited to stay here in this place for as long as you desire in silent prayer. And when you're ready, I invite you to depart in silence. Mm-hmm.